The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
If we go to the time of our beloved Imam Hussein alayhi salam and those incidents that were taking place around him, and we try to see, just like we've been doing over the last few nights, what were the causes that made people stay away from Imam Hussein, abandon him. Definitely one of those causes was people who had not found a balanced way to live in this world. One of the examples that we have, clear example, is that of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd was the father of the infamous Umar ibn Sa'd, la'anatullahi alayh, the killer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His father, Sa'd, was actually somebody who was one of the earliest Muslims. They say number 7 in all of history of Islam was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He was a teenager at the time that he accepted Islam. But then we see that a change takes place in Sa'd's approach, to the point that they say that he was possessing multiple homes. Some of them were very large. And he also built a palace for himself. And the palace actually was named Qasru Sa'adin, meaning that it's the palace of Sa'd. Imagine that you have a place that's so big that it has a name. People call it something. There's one incident that you've heard of before when our Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was facing the people. He told them, he challenged them. This is one of, you know, the signs of his great knowledge. He says, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni. Ask me before you lose me. You can ask me about the past. You can ask me about the future. I will answer you whatever question you have. And Sa'd, at that point, he's completely taken a different path. So what does he do? He says, stands up and he says that, okay, tell me how many hairs do I have on my head? And the Imam alayhi salam tells him that actually this particular question that you're asking me was foretold by my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And he told me that you will ask this question, and that in reality, every single hair that you have on your head and every hair that you have on your beard, inside of it is a shaitan. This is the reality that you become, Sa'd. And in your home, there is a goat, and that goat will one day become the killer of my son, Hussein alayhi salam. That was the prediction made at that time. Now, they say that at that time, his son, Umar ibn Sa'd, was just a very young child. He was crawling on his hands and knees. So the goat analogy was referring to him at that time. And we know what happens. Sa'd lives his life, and then his son, Umar ibn Sa'd, becomes the commander of the army against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The night before Ashura, some reports say that Imam Hussein met with him. You know, they had a family connection, because there was some connection between the Prophet's mom and between Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. They were family members. Imam Hussein meets with him and he says to him that, look, why don't we just join forces? We'll go and we'll fight Yazid together. And Umar ibn Sa'd says that, I have a home. If I do this, my home will be destroyed. Imam Hussein says that, I will give you a home better than your home. Umar ibn Sa'd says that, I have some land. If I do this, they're going to steal that land from me. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him, I have some land in the Hijaz, which is better than the land that you would lose. But despite whatever Imam Hussein alayhi salam tries to do to comfort him, Umar ibn Sa'd refuses to join with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the next day, what happens? We all know. It's the tragedy of Ashura. Now, brothers and sisters, this is just one example among many who had taken a path where they were imbalanced towards the dunya. This is despite the fact that our Prophet, with his teachings, he had educated people. He had shown them a different way. The teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam were many times, if you look at his sermons in Nahj al-Balagha, they were geared towards this very point, that don't let this dunya become something which takes you as a slave. Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 15, هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. Allah is the one who created this earth as something that is tractable for you, meaning that you can use the earth for your purposes. He could have made it in a different way. Like, let's say, for example, it was so hard, the surface was so hard that you could never dig into it. Allah could have made it that way. He could have made it so hilly with so much elevation, so many like dips and you know, hills and whatnot, that it would be impossible for us to travel from one city to another city. He could have done that, but he didn't. He made it in a way out of his mercy that we can manage it. So Allah says that you go travel on this earth, and you go and you eat from its provisions, consume. But remember one thing, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Remember that your return is to God. And perhaps there's a reference here in this ayah that same earth that you're hungering after to build and to gain from and to consume from, remember one thing, that you're going to go into this earth. One time, Nabi Isa alayhi salam was asked to settle a dispute between two men who were arguing with each other. One of them said that this is my land, and he gave his proof for why this land is his own. And then the other party said that no, this is my land, and he gave his proof. So Nabi Isa alayhi salam listened to both of them. And then he told them that, you know, I've heard from both of you, you've testified, but let me tell you what the land that you are disputing over, let me tell you what this land is saying to you right now. This land is saying to both of you that you are claiming that I am yours, but I am telling you that you are mine, because one day you are going to be inside of me. And this is very important, how easy it is for us to forget this when it comes to our treatment of this dunya. How easy it is, here Allah tells us, you go and you ride on the earth. Go travel on it. But sometimes we let the earth ride, take us for a ride. We take the dunya, let the dunya, this world, take us for a ride. So Islam says, be very careful. Islam teaches us, don't ever equate success with how much you get from this world and this dunya. Never. In Surah Sa'd of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala praises one of the best of his servants. وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُدَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعَمَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Allah says that we gave to Dawood a gift of Sulaiman. He was the best of servants, and he was often returning to Allah. And Sulaiman, as you know, had such wealth that no one else had. And on the same page of the Quran, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبٌ. Remember our servant Ayyub. And he also was a servant of Allah, and he was also one of the best. Now, Ayyub was among the poorest of people. He had lost all of his worldly possessions, everything. But he's ni'am al-abd, he's the best of the servants, and Nabi Sulaiman is the best of servants. This is the teaching of Islam, that material wealth and material possessions are not a marker of success.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.